really great to worship God this morning. You know, let's not that just be our time of worship. May that stir us this day to be people of worship, to be people of devotion, to be people prepared to live our lives for our King, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in some ways, that's all I need to say this morning. We just need to go and do it, don't we? We need to go and live it. But maybe you'll just indulge me a little longer. It's an all-age service this morning. It is a shorter message, but in essence, this is about people devoted to our King, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That is what we are about. And devotion is a really big word. And it starts the passage that we're looking at this morning. And as we saw also in our earlier object lesson, Colossians 4, verse 2. And this time I'm going to read right through to verse 6. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Now we hear a regular word within the church. We don't hear it a lot outside of the church. It's one of those words that could be described as a bit churchy, but even though it is not a word we perhaps use in regular conversations with people, it is a word that's perhaps one of the most important to us as Christians today. And that word is this: discipleship. So what does discipleship mean? You know, we use that word quite a lot in our church circles, and I can go to a book to give you a definition. So let's try the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, and it gives this description of a disciple: someone who follows another person or another way of life and who submits himself to the discipline, teaching of that leader or way. Okay, that's a pretty good definition. Great having an encyclopedia of the Bible, but let's go back to the actual words of Jesus in the Bible. And it says these words because throughout the Gospels, Jesus tells people these two simple words: follow me. And we know that Jesus had plenty of followers. Not just the 12 disciples, we know that he was followed also around by large crowds. Now, before I decided to follow Jesus at the age of 18, there were lots of people that I would say I followed. They were mainly pop stars, bands, and I would follow them to varying degrees. Some I followed by putting posters up on my wall. Some I followed by buying their singles or their cassettes. And kids, ask your parents what a cassette is, maybe even your grandparents, that's how old I am now. Some I even followed by travelling to see them in concert, travelling quite a lot of miles and spending quite a lot of my hard-earned money that I made from working in the local corner shop. Now, there is an effort to following. It cost me my time. It cost me my hard-earned money. And following something usually has a cost to it. But where are those people and where are those bands now that I was following back then in probably the 80s? Some of the bands I followed would have split up. Some of them don't make music anymore, well, at least not like they used to back in the good old 80s. Some of them have given up on music. In one case, one of my people I followed has become a gardener. Some of them, sadly, have passed away. Now, none of that following has really made an impact on my life. But being a follower of Jesus, being what we call a disciple, does not just impact your life, it becomes your life. That's why perhaps the word follower isn't a strong enough word to describe a person who follows Jesus. That's why we use the word disciple, because being a disciple of Jesus, it becomes our life. You know, when you follow a pop star, a musician, a film star, you don't actually follow them. You sort of watch them. You listen to them, maybe. You observe them. And to be honest, many people have reduced their experience of church and Christianity to one of observation. Observation is not devotion. It is not discipleship. Some of you may have seen a funny illustration from Francis Chan, which I'm now going to unashamedly copy because it's really good illustration of what discipleship is about. Francis Chan talks about asking his daughter to tidy her room. Now, as a parent of older children and now young adults, this can be a challenging task. And I'll just pick on one of my teenage daughters. She knows who she is, but I won't embarrass her by naming her. But if I said to this unnamed daughter of mine, go and clean your room, I would expect her to go and clean her room. I wouldn't expect her to come down from her room an hour later and say, hey, Dad, I remembered what you said earlier and I've written it down. Look at this. I've written it down. In fact, I've written it down and I've looked it up in the original Greek. And here it is. It's in the present continuous tense. It tells me to tidy and keep on tidying my room. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful what I've done? And tomorrow, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invite all my friends around and we're going to study what you said about tidying my room and we're going to discuss it for an hour and a half. We might even sing about it. We might even memorize what you've said. And in fact, I've also started a Facebook discussion group to debate that verse. And people are saying, what a great verse. And they've gone to this translation that says, ye shalt tidy thy room. And that definitely is the best translation. And there's also this paraphrase version that says, this says you must tidy the humongous mess that it causes abundant joy in the heart of your Father on earth, who will reward you with great kindness and unlimited pocket money. This prosperity paraphrase version. And it's fantastic. And you know what? In church circles, all that stuff, the Greek, the study, the memorizing, the Facebook debates, the translations, we think that's marvelous. We esteem all these wonderful things. But we forget the most important part of discipleship, the most important part of devotion, the most important part of following Jesus is simply, have you done it? Have you tidied your room? Because the disciple does what Jesus says. We are not followers who just listen, who observe, who debate. We are followers who do. And that is discipleship. The passage that we're listening to this morning, that we've read this morning, is not just something we listen to. It's not just something we study or unpack and we discuss. It has action words. It says, devote yourself to prayer. It says, have an alert mind, a thankful heart. Pray for opportunities to speak. Proclaim the message. Live amongst the unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. Speak with grace. You know, being spiritually fit, as this series is about, it leads us to a place of devotion. And that devotion leads to action. Lots of people try to get fit to make themselves feel better. But this fitness that we've been talking about is for the gospel to be unleashed into all the world through devoted followers who open up the door of God's word of the gospel, whether that's through prayer, opening up the door through selfless service, opening up the door through words of grace, opening up the door by actually being and getting alongside those outside of the church. Opening up the door. Think of the opportunities that we have to get alongside those outside of the church. So many. We've done it through Explorers and Alpha and the Pantry and Cafe and Coffee Stop. And we may not be sure of what will start again when we come back, but I pray for opportunities to open up the door to the gospel. We want more opportunities, don't we, to get alongside those outside of the church. You know, this fitness regime that we've been on, we've been doing, involves what I would call the vertical exercises. It says, you know, things that are essential vertical exercises, prayer, study of God's word, singing worship, you know, as we have done and as we are doing this morning. But this passage also reminds me that we need some horizontal exercises, that we're to love our neighbour, we're to serve the least, the last and the lost. We're to share the message of God's infinite love and mercy through the gospel, the good news. And the result of our fitness is to impact others, not just me. And discipleship, this type of sacrificial life, this lifelong following of Jesus is for the benefit of others. So I just want to encourage you in this short talk to do two very simple exercises. To talk and to walk. To talk, Paul tells us in this passage to pray that God will give you many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Verse 4 says, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Verse 6 tells us, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. It's clear from this passage that we need to talk. We need to share with people that God's original plan was relationship. It was a relationship with him for us to know him, to be connected to him for all of eternity. And we need to share that sin also entered our world. The selfishness, me-first culture, the greed, the hatred, it's shown up in our world and it's shown up in our lives and in all of humanity, bar one person. That one person, his name is Jesus. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. And he's lived to show us a new way of living, a beautiful, sinless way of living and a great, wonderful, beautiful, sinless way of being as well. The greatest injustice, though, is that the only one to live that sinless, beautiful life has died in horrific and cruel execution on a cross. And that selfless act has allowed us the opportunity to turn our selfish lives around, to repent, which is what turnaround is, and trust him as our Lord and Saviour, and put our lives on his path of right living, his path of joyful living, his path of justice, of compassion, of lifelong discipleship and sacrifice, of following him at whatever the cost. And this gospel, this good news, has transformed my life and it can transform yours. For someone to know this gospel requires us to open our mouths, Faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. That's what Romans 10:17 says. So we need to talk the gospel. But alongside the talk, we also need to do the second exercise. We need to walk. We need to, as verse 5 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. The Amplified says, instead of live wisely, it says, conduct yourselves. And some of the other versions, the ESV and the King James, uses the word walk. And that is the translation, walk amongst those who are not believers. And walk refers to the way we live. It refers to everything we do. So when we talk about our Christian walk, we're referring to everything we do in our life. Your walk is your life. And Paul says here that as a Christian, you should walk wisely towards outsiders or non-believers. You know, our walk and our life is done mainly outside of the church. You know, walk cannot be done only in the church. We walk amongst the fallen world as a forgiven people. And we need to be careful in the way we walk. We need to be careful in the way that we conduct ourselves. Because our conduct will do two things when it comes to the gospel. It will either close and slam the door, or it will open the door for us to share Christ for the people who are watching us. And people are watching us. So in everything we do, we need to conduct ourselves in the light of the opportunities that we might have to share the gospel. You know, in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison, what were the prisoners doing? They were listening. They were waiting for their response. They were seeing in the midst of such an unjust imprisonment what their reaction would be. They were listening to Paul and Silas. And people do like to test us. They want to see how we react, whether it's in the real world or social media, the virtual world. They want to know if this gospel works and why not. Because if this is going to cost people their life, they're going to want to see evidence of changed life. They want to see people walking as well as talking. And as disciples, our key job is to make disciples, is to walk and talk the gospel, to show people through our action the difference that the good news of Jesus Christ is making, that we are prepared not just to listen, but we're prepared to obey. And as we talk the gospel, as we use our mouths to declare the good news, we pray. We pray for doors to be open. We pray for doors to be open in Smethwick, in your town, in your street, in your neighbourhood, in your workplace, in your school or college. We pray for the doors to be open in our services, our provisions here in the church, that we would see the streets around this church resound with good news, because the good news of Jesus Christ is everlasting joy. It's peace beyond human understanding. It's hope in the midst of fear. It's healing in the brokenness. We want to see young and old return to Jesus. We want the doors to be open right now. So we're going to use a song that talks about opening up the doors. If we're Christians, you know, we say we will walk and we will talk the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to walk and talk it. And as disciples, we're going to be doing, not just listening. And for those that have not said yes to Jesus, that have not said yes to this good news, take this opportunity to turn or return to Jesus. Ask him as we sing this into your life to turn away from all your sin and brokenness in your life. Receive God's salvation. Receive his healing that's been made possible because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's heavenly gates are wide. They're wide open for you. So enter in and receive from him in this moment of worship. So we're going to finish with prayer. And we're going to finish with the prayer that the disciples were taught by Jesus, a prayer that is so well known. And we're going to just pause and just allow God to come into our life as we pray this prayer together. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we ask for your will to be done in our lives right now. Give us this daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lord, pour out your forgiveness upon our life. We so need your love. We so need your mercy. We so need your grace. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, we pray. Lord, help us. Help us flee from evil. Help us flee from all those things that seek to bring us down into the pit of destruction. Lord, we want to be singing a new song of salvation today. A song of salvation. A song of joy. A song of hope. For yours is the kingdom. For yours is the power. For yours is the glory, forever and ever. Thank you that it's forever and ever. Thank you that it's for eternity. This is a relationship not just for this life, but forever and ever for eternity. So Lord, we just freely give our lives to you. And Lord, we say we want to be disciples. We just don't want to follow and listen and observe. We want to do your will. We want to follow your plan. We want to follow your path. And we say, Lord, take our lives. Take our lives as an offering. Take our lives as a sacrifice. Not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We honour you. And we give our lives to you afresh this day. Amen. Just want to encourage you, if you've prayed a prayer to Jesus that says, I'm turning to you, Lord Jesus. I'm giving up my sin. I'm giving up my past life. I'm giving up, Lord, on the things of the past and looking to you for my future. If you've prayed a prayer similar to that, I would ask you really to contact us and to contact our email address, pastoral@rrcchurch.com. You know, this life, this discipling life, is not just a simple decision. It's a lifelong commitment to Jesus. And we want to help you on that path as you make that lifelong decision to Jesus. So please do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Have a great Sunday. Be blessed and be disciples. Be followers of Jesus Christ to the end. Amen.